the works and ways of God on high. Now we're going to be thinking just a little bit about that tonight as we're gathered together, as we read the word of God together. And we're going to first of all read in the prophecy of Isaiah, in the Old Testament, and chapter 12. Now I'm glad you've been able to come along tonight, and we really look to God that he will bless us as we read his word together, and as we think as an application in the gospel for these things we're going to read together tonight. So chapter 12 of the book of Isaiah, and beginning at verse 1. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." Let's go over to Jeremiah, which is the next book along, Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 13. And on this occasion, the prophet Jeremiah is speaking to the people of God, the Israelite nation, and he's saying something very, very clear. And here's what he says in verse 13. "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." Now over into the New Testament, and we're going to read a very well-known passage in John's Gospel, and chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. Now it's quite a lengthy reading, but I'm sure if we read it, then you'll get the sense of what is happening here in John chapter 4. So the Lord Jesus is on the move, and it says, "When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. And there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, there is nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him, it shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw." Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidst truly. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem, yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And the woman saith unto him, I know the Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, and when he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And we'll close the reading there, and I'm sure God will bless to us the reading of his precious holy word. Now the purpose of our gathering tonight is a gospel service, and the purpose of a gospel service is to tell people of the good news. That's really what gospel means. It's just good news. And the good news we have for you tonight is the same good news that this woman heard all these years ago by Sychar's well, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save men and women from their sin. Now, I don't know about you tonight. I don't know about your background. The most of people maybe here I would know. But I don't know entirely everyone who's in the meeting. And if you're not saved tonight, then I want you to pay particular attention to the words of the Lord Jesus, and to pay particular attention to the preaching of the gospel tonight. The message of the gospel is for those who are sinners and who need to be saved. Well, you see, you might say to yourself, well, really, what's the point of all of this? Is there any point in worrying about these things? You know, there's lots of things to worry about in the world today. You know, we're only days away from one of the momentous decisions that will ever be made in this country. And I'm not here to speak about that tonight. But the fact of the matter is, it's a momentous decision. And whichever way you feel the vote should go, it really doesn't matter to me tonight. What really matters is that there's vastly a greater decision that has to be taken in the hearts and lives of individuals as we're gathered together tonight. Because if you're not saved, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, we have to be very clear and very plain to you tonight that the God of heaven, the Scripture and the Word of God from heaven would tell us that at the end of your life is a lost sinner's hell. And that's something that most of us are not looking forward to. But the Bible says that there is a fearful looking forward to of judgment for those that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Fearful looking forward to of judgment. Now, when God speaks about the fear of these kind of fears, then they are really fears that men and women can't withstand on their own. And so it's something we need to be aware of, and something we need to be clear and plain about tonight. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, you need to deal with it. You need to do something about it, and you need to do it tonight. Remember what the Bible says, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know what tomorrow brings. There are folks that have been perfectly happily looking forward to another day, and that day never dawns for them, and they're gone out of time into God's eternity. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ was, as he travelled through this scene of time, was interested in speaking to individuals. And there were times when he spoke to vast crowds of people, and they all gathered round about. And remember, there was an occasion that, and the hymn writer puts it, that even ere the sun was set, the sick old Lord around he lay. With what divers pains they met, or with what joy they went away. The Lord Jesus, it tells us this, that he healed them all. How marvellous is that? Man, nobody went away that day without being healed by the Lord Jesus Christ. But here in the text that we've read together, this account now, we've got to be careful not to call them stories, because sometimes we believe that folks think because it's a story, well, you can either believe it or you don't. But this is an account of something that took place. It's historical. It's spiritual. It's a requirement for us to understand what the Lord Jesus was doing. And at the very beginning of the chapter that we read together, we find this, that the Lord Jesus, it says, that he must needs go through Samaria. Now you read the rest of the passage in this chapter of John's Gospel, and you'll find that he stayed in Sychar for 2 days. And we don't hear very much more about what he did. Well, the reason for him coming to Sychar was this, to speak to this woman. Now there were other people who got converted through the testimony of the woman and through the words of the Lord Jesus. But the Lord Jesus was heading for Sychar to meet with a woman. And he meant to come here to Sychar that day. He didn't drift. The Lord Jesus didn't drift about in life. Some of us drift in life, don't we? We just drift from pillar to post. And we don't know what another day will bring us. And we just head whichever direction we're facing in the morning when we rise up. That wasn't the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus had a purpose in going to Sychar that day, and it was to speak to this woman. I want to tell you something tonight about the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're here tonight to hear the gospel, God speaking. And the Lord Jesus, through the Spirit of God, wants to speak to your heart tonight and wants to tell you something about your need of salvation. He wants to tell you something about your dire prospect without Christ in the world. And he wants to tell you about an eternity without God. I want to tell you tonight, as we're together, God wants to speak to your heart. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, God really wants to speak to your heart and bring you to himself. You know, the Lord Jesus came all the way from heaven. Not just from Jerusalem to Sychar, he came all the way from heaven to earth that you and I might hear the message of the gospel. What a distance the Lord Jesus came. What a stoop he took as he came from the wonderful state of heaven down into the scene of time where there was nothing but sin that he had never known before. And the Lord Jesus came for us that he might bring us back to God. There was a purpose in his coming, you see. We were at a distance from him, and he wanted to bring us back to himself, to God. And so the Lord Jesus came to that city of Samaria, to Sychar, to speak to a woman. But when he got there, she wasn't there yet. When he got to Sychar, she wasn't there, and the Lord Jesus was weary with the journey, and he sat upon a well. And you know, the Lord Jesus knew who was coming out. He knew the start from the beginning. The Bible tells us that about the Lord Jesus. If we read through the scriptures, we'll find that he's the one who is the first and the last. He's the beginning and the ending. He knows the start from the end. You and I don't know what's around the corner. But the Lord Jesus knew what was around the corner. And he knew that when he reached Sychar's well, there was a woman going to be heading out of the town as she was coming to the well to draw water. And he knew all about her circumstances of life, and he wanted to speak to her heart. And tonight I want to say to you this. If you think no one knows about your sin, if no one knows about your circumstances of life, if no one knows about your particular need, the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven knows all about your need. There's nothing which is hidden from the eye of God in heaven tonight about you or about me tonight. How wonderful is that? You know, that could be, to you and I, the fact that God knows all about us could be a wonderful thing, but it could be a threatening thing as well, in a sense. God knows about our need. God knows about our circumstances, and God can come in. And the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God can come into our lives and to our circumstances and help us. But you know, there's a day coming when nothing will be hid from the eye of God. And there's a day coming, if we're not saved, if we don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, then we'll stand before a God who knows all about our sin. We'll stand before a God who understands the times we've heard the gospel, the times we've read the scriptures in sessions like this. The times we've had thoughts concerning our need before him, and yet we've stood back from the brink and we've never done anything about it. God will know. And God will pass judgment. That man whom he hath ordained, the judge of all the air, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall pass judgment upon everyone who has turned back from the Lord Jesus and his way of salvation. And so the Lord Jesus knew about this woman. He knew about her circumstances, and he knew where she was going to be right at that very moment in time. And there she was. He sat, and he was wearied with the journey. The Lord Jesus, being wearied with the journey, sat on the well. Now, I don't know what kind of well it was. I've seen some wells. There's a well right outside the back door of our house at home. It looks kind of like a wee round wall with a thing on the top of it to stop the children falling in. But that's as far as we know about it. We know there's water down there somewhere, but we don't know any more about the well. But the fact is that in these eastern countries, the well may well have just been dug out of the earth. We don't know if there was a wee pail on the end of a string like we think there is. We don't know about that. Just know that it was Jacob's well, and it was there, and this woman was going to come out to it that day. You know, the Lord knew the history of the well. You see, this Lord Jesus Christ who came to earth was the same Lord Jesus Christ who was in heaven and saw the digging of the well way back these years before when Jacob dug the well. And so he knew about the history of the well. But the woman was going to tell him something about the history of the well. You know, she thought the person that she was speaking to didn't know about it. And she was mixed up in quite a lot of ways, you know. This woman who came out of the well, she had a mixed up view of religion, shall we say, when she came out. And she's speaking to the Lord Jesus, and she says to him things like, we're Samaritans and you're Jews and we really shouldn't be speaking to one another. But you'll notice that the Lord Jesus was never taken by these kind of things. The Lord Jesus didn't turn his back on people who were different from him. You know, maybe some folks come from one side of a religious divide and the other side of a religious divide, and they divide apart and they never speak to one another. But that wasn't the case for the Lord Jesus Christ. Here he came right to this woman, where she was, and he knew all about her being on the other side of the religious divide. You know, sometimes we get kind of mixed up with religion. We do. There's not many mentions of religion in the scriptures, you know. One mention is this: true religion is to feed the fatherless, to care for the widows, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. That's true religion. That's what the Bible says about religion. It doesn't say that we should divide ourselves apart and so on and so forth as far as the religion is concerned. And it doesn't mention much more in relation to religion at all. But what it does talk about, it talks about faith. We're thinking about faith this afternoon up at Kennewe and how wonderful it was just to consider these things together. And the Lord Jesus was speaking to a woman and her need was so apparent to him. Now, she may never have told anyone else sitting on the well, the things that she told the Lord Jesus Christ. She might never have told anyone else these circumstances. I want to tell you something this evening as we're together. You can tell the Lord Jesus Christ anything. You can bring everything to the Lord Jesus. Whatever it is that's holding you back from Christ, you can bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you might tell me something, and I hope it wouldn't be the case, but you might tell me something and tomorrow morning I meet somebody else and I tell them the whole story. And you wish you hadn't told me because of that. That'll never be the case with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus knows all about our circumstances before we tell him. And so we can open up and we can tell things to him and we can bring ourselves to him in our need before him. And so we read about this woman, and when the Lord Jesus speaks to her, he asks her for water from the well. Because he was thirsty, and because it began a conversation which was going to mean that this woman understood more of what the Lord Jesus had to offer. And so there she is. She says, now wait a minute. How are you going to manage to get anything from this well? Because you've got nothing to draw with. You've got nothing to put down into the water, and the well is deep. The well is deep. I want to tell you something today about the wells of this world. The Bible talks about it. We've been reading about it in the prophecy of Isaiah and the prophecy of Jeremiah or elsewhere in the scriptures. Sometimes we find, you know, that to try and reach something in this world that will quench our thirst, we find that the well is deep. I wonder if I can ask you a question this evening as we're together. Is the thirst of your life, the spiritual thirst of your life, has it been quenched? You see, men and women and boys and girls and even preachers of the past, before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we tried to plumb the depths of the well of life. And we find that it's a deep well. And it's a long way down to the water. And sometimes we find that no matter what happens, either the string in our pail is too short and we can't reach. Or we find that when we do get the water up, we're just replacing the water that we took away because we've sweated so much in really getting that water up. And we've never got our thirst quenched at all. And if our thirst is quenched, it's for a moment in time. And we have to go back to the well again for further refreshment. And that's what happened to that woman that day. She was able to find out from the Lord Jesus Christ something that she'd always known, but she'd never really put her finger on it. And here the Lord Jesus put his finger on it. He says, the lady said, the well is deep. And the Lord Jesus says, I'll give you water. I'll give you water. And you'll never thirst again. I want to ask you this question this evening. What about the quenching of your thirst spiritually? What about this world and you trying to get something out of the water pots in this world? The Bible talks about it. We read about it. We read about people in the Old Testament, the book of Jeremiah. And there they were. They had hewn out for themselves cisterns, water holders. And they were broken cisterns that held no water. They had departed away from the fount of living water. I wonder if I can tell you this evening as we're together. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fount of living water. He's able to supply your need. He's able to take away that thirst for things that you can't quench in this world. But all of the things you might have tried, and you might have heard it before, the old preachers used to talk about, you know, inside each one of us, there is a void which is unfillable but by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you'll find that in the Old Testament scripture. He hath put eternity in their hearts. God can fill our lives. No one else can fill our lives. Nothing can fill our lives except the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the eternal God. And so this afternoon, this evening, as we're together, we're thinking about this woman. And I want you to think about yourself in the same position. Here you are, you're confronted with a person who knows all about your life. And you might wish to hide it, and she hadn't really maybe told very many people about it. And some would say that, you know, the reason that she came to the well at the time she came to the well was because she didn't want to really meet the other women of the town. It may well have been that the other women of the town came out in the early part of the day and they took their water pots of water and they took them away back into the town again. But here's a woman, and it may well be that she was frightened to meet the other women. And it all comes out in the context of the story, and we're not going to go into great detail about it because we don't want to dwell upon someone else's sin, because we've got enough sin of our own. And God had to deal with her sin at Calvary through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you want your sins forgiven tonight, you'll have to come to Calvary. And you'll have to come to what the Lord Jesus did there at Calvary's cross on your behalf. And the Lord Jesus died. And the Lord Jesus shed his blood for sins. Not for his own, but for the sin of the world. The perfect Son of God. And he died at Calvary. And tonight, if you'll just put your faith and trust in him, you can have your sins washed away. You see, God knows all about your sin. There's nothing hidden from him that he can't see. And tonight you might want to cover it up. And you know, you don't have to come and tell me about your sin. But what you need to do is you need to get before God with your sin. And you need to repent before the eternal God that his Son might cleanse you in the blood that was shed at Calvary. That was what the blood was shed for, you see. It was shed for the cleansing of sin. Precious blood. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. More precious than gold, Peter puts it. More precious than anything else in this world. The precious blood of Christ is able to cleanse from sin. And this woman, she saw her need. She saw someone who knew all about her personal situation and yet was still willing to take her on. I wonder if you realise that. It may well be that if other folk knew about your situation, they wouldn't touch you with a barge pole. There may be in this world that if other folks knew about you and your debts and of your heart, that they would really ostracise and they would push you away and they really wouldn't want to know you at all. I need to tell you tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about this woman's sin and he made his way to Sychar to speak to her and he told her of her need. Water. Water. Living water. Not just any water, the water that I shall give you. The water that the Lord Jesus Christ had on offer for that woman that day. I wonder if you've received that water. I wonder if you've received the salvation of our God. I wonder if you've been cleansed in the blood of Calvary. I wonder if you're ready to go to heaven. See, you need to be cleansed before you go to heaven. You're not going to get to heaven with your sin. You see, there was a time in heaven when one angel thought himself better than God and tried to aspire to be greater than God. And that angel of light, Lucifer, was cast out with all his followers out of heaven for one sin. God can't countenance sin and he will not let it into his heaven. And tonight, if you want to get to heaven, you're going to have to get your sin dealt with. And you might say, well, I'll deal with my sin my own way. Well, I need to tell you there is only one way. And it's the way that the Lord Jesus brought about by his death on Calvary's cross. One way. And we can't go our own way. The scripture says this, there is a way that seemeth right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. If it seems right, be careful of it. If it seems right to the human heart, be careful of it. Come to the way that God has, and the way that God has prescribed in his word. And hear this woman, and she comes to the Lord Jesus Christ with all her need, and he deals with her sin, and gives her that living water, and she would never thirst again. Now, this is not physical thirst we're talking about here. This is not the fact that we'll need to take a drink of water. But times, my wife's always getting onto me, you know, I don't drink enough water. So we need to drink water. Our human bodies need water. But as far as a spiritual longing for and thirst for something that this world can't give, it's only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ, the person who could quench that need and that thirst tonight. And he's the one that can deal with it. And he's the one you'll need to come to. And he's the one that can cleanse you of your sin and quench your eternal thirst for God. So tonight, I wonder what you're going to do. This woman, well, She says, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? She went out and told other folk about him, you see. She had found someone who was able to deal with that situation, that cleansing that was required, that inner thirst that was really a problem to her. And she found that the Lord Jesus could deal with that. And the Lord Jesus can still deal with that tonight. And whether you're a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, the Lord Jesus Christ can deal with your thirst. And she went out and she told the other people, come and see this man. Is not this the Christ? Now, when she said that, she meant something particular, you see. She meant who he was and where he had come from. Because the word Christ really means the Messiah, the coming one. Is this not the coming one? Is this not the one we've been expecting? Is this not the one who the Jews talk about is coming? The Jews hadn't noticed him, you know. Many of the Jews hadn't realized the person that was in their midst. And here's a woman from Samaria, from the other side of the divide, actually realized who this person was. Is not this the Messiah? God only. Son, she knew who he was. And she knew who he was because he dealt with her sin. What a change. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought. She could have sung it. Since Jesus came into my heart, I have light in my soul for which long I had sought. Since Jesus came into my heart. What about you tonight? What have you got? Is it darkness of sin? Is it the dryness of sin? Or is it the water of life to be found in the Lord Jesus? Will you take the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour? Will you accept him now? Will you trust him for eternity? Will you drink of that water and say with the hymn writer, I shall never thirst again. No, never thirst again. Because I've taken of the water that Jesus Christ shall give. May you do so. For his name's sake, shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank thee again for the account in thy scripture, in the Bible, which tells us of a God who is interested in the men and women of this world. More than interested in their physical being, interested in their spiritual being and interested in bringing them back, taking away and washing away that blackness of sin, taking away that thirst and bringing in water so that we'll never thirst again. Oh, our Father, we pray tonight that each one of us might have availed ourselves of the water that Jesus gives through salvation and through faith in his name. So we bring ourselves to thee. We seek a blessing. We ask it in the Saviour's holy name. Amen. Mm-hmm.